So our next speaker is Sarah Hart.
Thank you. So before I get started, how many people in the room are involved in a DNP education or practice? Okay, so there's a few of you. All right, I wanted to try to tailor it a little differently if no one in the room had that background, but I'll keep it broad to hopefully pique the interest of everyone who stuck around for this really late session deep into the conference. So thank you for being here. I'm Sarah Hart, and I teach across all of our programs at the University of Utah College of Nursing. My background is in health policy. I have a PhD in public policy and a bachelor's and master's in nursing. So my focus is really healthcare delivery systems and health policy. I have nothing to disclose, but I want to quickly tell you what my objectives are for our time together, other than trying to stay behind the microphone because I'm a walker. I want to describe the role of social justice in DNP education, and I also want to demonstrate our curriculum, which we recently revised, to be more solidly grounded in social justice and also the ecological model of health. So Janet shared with you the ANA's definition of social justice, and that certainly is what drives a lot of our curriculum work. But I wanted to share a little broader definition of social justice through a social justice concept analysis that was done by some of our Canadian colleagues that you can see referenced on the bottom of the slide. And that definition is full participation. Here, let me get that arrow out of the way. That's better. Full participation in society with the balancing of benefits and burdens by all citizens, resulting in equitable living and a just ordering of society. And you can see what some of the attributes they also found through their concept analysis. And I like to consider this broader definition because I think it allows us to think about things that we might not consider when we're kind of force-fed the attributes of our nursing definition of social justice, which is important and I wholly adhere to, but I think it's fun to think bigger. Also, the two things I'm talking about are social justice and the ecological model of health. I'm assuming since you are at the American Public Health Association, you're familiar with the ecological model of health, but just a brief touchdown on it. It's the socio-ecological approach to health that recognizes the inextricable links between people and their environment. Really what it means is health is everything. Everything matters when we think about health. Beyond our historical professional roots in social justice, we have a couple of other guiding documents in nursing that help build the foundation for social justice in our curriculum. And the two that I want to mention, because the biggest drivers of this, are our accrediting body, CCNE, comes out of the American Association of Colleges of Nursing, and they create essentials that we all have to meet in each of our nursing education programs to be accredited, and therefore sit for licensure and all the other things that come with accreditation. So the DNP essentials, number five, actually states healthcare is actually focused on healthcare policy for advocacy. And number seven under that is advocates for social justice, equity, and ethical policies within all healthcare arenas. This doesn't seem foreign to us as nurses, but I think anybody who teaches in DNP programs might feel like this feels a little foreign in terms of what we're actually accomplishing. And then also a little older document, the IOM Crossing the Quality Chasm, notes that care needs to be safe, effective, timely, personalized, and equitable. So those are two driving documents for us as we consider this core curriculum change. And let me just back up and say that the DNP has been in place for close to a decade now, and it was, as curricula go, it's a dynamic living thing that's constantly being evaluated and changed, but we were due for a big overhaul of our core curriculum, and that's why we began this process, because we really felt like with the opportunity to overhaul our core curriculum, we had the opportunity to really do social justice in our work. So this is a busy slide. I apologize. Write down the reference, because if you're not familiar with this piece, it's a fabulous piece if you're involved in nursing education. And so all I'm going to do is read the quote from the top. A social justice perspective will be essential to sustaining long-term socially responsive NP roles, nurse practitioner roles, for those of you not involved in nursing education, and achieving greater equity in health and health care. We have created advanced practice nurses. There's been a proliferation of advanced practice nurses. We've been around for a long time, and the social justice roots of advanced practice nursing are deep. The last decade, with this proliferation, my opinion is we've lost sight of that. We've lost sight of who we are as nurses as we become, unfortunately, oftentimes considered Band-Aid providers. So this is a great document to remind us all of who we are as nurses, first and foremost, and what our broader role is in delivering and promoting health. So ultimately, the reason that social justice became a foundation of our core curriculum is this right here. The ways we recognize that the ways in which we conceptualize health and the ways we conceptualize the determinants of health shape those interventions that we can consider and then choose from. So if we don't recognize it, we can't consider it, so we certainly aren't going to choose from it. So if we can give our students that foundation, then the potential impact that they have on the health of individuals and populations becomes much greater. So let me tell you a little bit about our program. We're at the University of Utah. It's the largest university in the state. We are in Salt Lake City. We have a long history of nursing education. We were the first nursing program in the state, and we have a long history of midwifery education. So we're pretty well known for our women's health and midwifery program, but we have these other four programs as well. All of these programs, here's the trick, all of these programs take the same core curriculum, and then they go into their specialty classes. So we have an opportunity to ensure that all of these D&P students go into their specialties with that foundation that we give them in the core. It's a challenge because they're coming from lots of different areas. It's a fun challenge, though. So here is our D&P core. This is the revised version. I'm not going to bother giving you guys what it looked like before. The first four that are italicized are the four that have the bulk of the social justice and ecological model of health in them, but it is present in every course. And I'm going to walk you through the first four courses, but I just want to nod to the bottom four, where we teach a lot of quality, safety, evidence, and technology, and we relate that to all of those components to equity, and that's how we keep that social justice foundation in those courses as well. So a lot of information on the slide. Again, I'm just going to tell you what the course is about. The objectives are just there for you to read them if you are an educator or for some reason that type of stuff is interesting to you. So the first course that I want to tell you about is one of the first courses they take in our program, and it's the social context of medicine and public health. This is really where they learn what all of us at APHA already know. This is where we get a chance to say social determinants of health matter, that this is what the socio-ecological model looks like, this is how we relate what we do to the outcomes of our patients and, more importantly, our communities. And so this is where we get to talk about some fun stuff. This is the course where we talk about all those inherent tensions in this very topic. The tensions around individuals versus societies or communities, the tension between individual freedom and equality, the tension between equality and fairness, our limited resources, and how do we balance limited resources with a just society? How do we even begin to build a just society with limited resources? And then also we began to talk about our personal biases, our personal beliefs, what it means to be a member of a profession, what is our code of ethics, and who is it that we want to be as a member of this profession. So this is a fun course. And then the next course they take is called Professional Roles. And this is much more, so the first course was more looking out. The Professional Roles course is more looking in. And so this gives them a chance to really learn about what are the roles of an advanced practice nurse. But what we do a lot of in this course is working on their personal professional philosophy? Who are they, and what difference do they want to make in their community and in their world? And what type of awareness do they need to have about themselves in order to make those differences? And so in this course, we get to talk about these fun things. Things around culture and group identity, our individual stories, all those millions. I like to bring in art into the classroom, and so I always use pointillism to talk about individual stories. And if you're not familiar with pointillism, it's when you have a picture that was created only by a series of single dots. And so you see this beautiful image, this whole image, but if you get up close to that type of art, you can see every individual dot. And I believe that's a great illustration for who we are as humans. We see someone and we say, oh, I see your big picture. But I don't see all those thousands, millions of individual experiences you have had that make you who you are. So this is also a fun course. We also talk about institutions and what it means to have an institutional identity. Everything from religion, which is a predominant conversation in my state of Utah, to, you know, whether you're a member of the Girl Scouts or those institutional identities that drive how you see the world. And then this is the course that this is primarily my course, so this is my favorite, U.S. Healthcare Systems and Policy. And as you can imagine, there's a ton of social justice around resource allocation in this course. And the thing that I want to mention about this course that I think is important when we think about embedding social justice foundations in our curriculum is the use of terminology. So in this course, we very carefully choose terminology that is not nursing-based, because it's really hard to influence outside of your profession if you're only talking with language from inside your profession. So we teach this content from a framework of healthcare delivery across health professions in language that everyone can recognize and use, kind of a health administration framework. And then the final course that I want to share with you is our leadership and advocacy course. And this is towards the end, so they don't take their whole core and then start their specialty courses. Their core is interspersed throughout their specialty courses. So this is either the second to last semester or the last semester of their program, and this is heavily application. So they are, again, looking at who they are and who they want to be as leaders. They're looking inward again now that they've had all of this education and experience. They refocus on self-awareness, who they can be as a leader, and what it means to be an advocate as a leader, and how important that role is in the social justice outcomes that we're all going for. So, again, a really fun course to be a part of. So our first cohort under this new curriculum has now graduated, and we're getting ready to graduate our second. So some of the successes that we've found are that students are much more engaged in the conversation around meaningful social justice. They could tell us what social justice was. They could, you know, kind of talk the talk, but the conversations have become more meaningful. And we're also seeing them have broader conversations around systems-level leadership that wasn't there before. And so hopefully that's also a reflection of some successes of this work. Some challenges that I don't think we'll ever get beyond, but, you know, that's what challenges are for, to keep us on our toes. Ensuring effective learning and integration of concepts in our current political climate. As you can imagine, it's really difficult to talk about social justice without having some sort of political ideology adhere to it. And so given the divisiveness of our current political climate, it can make these conversations especially hard. Our graduate populations at the University of Utah tend to reflect communities that aren't exclusively Utah, like our undergraduate students almost exclusively are Utah natives. So getting a little more broad experience helps, but there's still a level of insularness, is that a word, that surfaces in our work. And so that's a challenge, but, you know, again, challenges can be fun. So I want to wrap up with, I don't know how I'm doing on time, I talk faster than I thought I would. I wanted to wrap up with a few of our student projects from this first cohort. So We didn't have projects that looked quite like this before we changed this curriculum. And I don't have data to ensure that these are a result of our curricular change. I think we can, you know, recognize that it had to have had an influence. So we had a student who actually looked at the Code of Ethics, the ANA Code of Ethics social justice content very specifically. And now she is one of the people who is sitting on that social justice or on that Code of Ethics review panel for the ANA. So that's been fun. We have a student who addressed HIV and AIDS among the Latinos living in Utah. We have a student who developed a mentorship program for homeless youth in our city. Salt Lake has a big homeless youth problem that feeds from multiple cultural issues in our state. And so homeless youth is a real issue for us. And then we had a student who, so Utah is one of the states that has not yet expanded Medicaid. We are waiting for approval from the feds for a waiver project, and word has it we will get that official notice on December 4th. So we're excited that even though we haven't done it under the traditional model, we might still be taking care of that population. It's about 250,000 in the state of Utah. It might not sound like a lot to those of you in much larger, much more heavily populated states, but for our state population, 250,000 that are falling in that gap between Medicaid coverage and subsidies is a huge portion of our population. So we had a student who looked specifically at improving access for Medicaid clients from the nurse practitioner role in our state. So those were exciting projects to be a part of. My recommendations or implications for education are that when we use those professional foundation documents and we use frameworks for health policy and that health and all policy approach to our curriculum, that students have the opportunity to recognize health and all policies from an early place in their nursing education, and then it becomes part of who they are. It becomes part of their identity through each step of that educational process, and then hopefully goes with them into practice. There's some great little references there if anybody's interested in them, and I think I have time for a couple of questions.
Although everybody's really tired and they're just saying, get me to the French Quarter.
So I have a question. The projects that you're describing are these
DNP scholarly projects.
And this would be comparable to, I think, the old
It is as comparable to a thesis as any other DNP scholarly project. You know, that's the model now.
It's not just for one class.
No. This is their capstone scholarly project. Yes. Yeah. This represents a minimum of 3 semesters of work for a lot of students, 4 or more, depending on how early they identify. They're not the majority, but almost zero were prior. So the fact that we're seeing some out of that first cohort without a lot of so our scholarly projects are mentored by faculty all across we have 116 faculty in the College of Nursing, and there's only a few of us that really kind of live and breathe this. And I wasn't on any of these projects. No, that's not true. I was on the ANA project, but the others I was not. So my point is that these weren't nudged in an overt way. These are ideas that were generated by the students and were guided by faculty who may not have that population focus. Yeah. Other questions or ideas or suggestions for me or anybody else who presented? Thank you guys for hanging out this late in the day. I'm so impressed.
Thank you.